Amen. Why don't we get comfortable, and we want to welcome everybody here today, welcome everybody online. We just want to be sure and invite anybody that if you're sitting at home and you don't have a home church and you're interested in one, we encourage you to come visit, and like the Bible says, come and see, and just see what the Lord might do in your life. So good morning. We want to welcome you to week three of Cultural Revolution. This is what we want, what we've been talking about for a few weeks now. And so I just want to ask you guys here, is there anybody that can remember way back in 2016? I mean, remember back then we used to think about that. The elections were in full swing. All that stuff was going on. There was all this infighting and tweeting and texting and everything going on. There was these divisions. It was this big argument. It was like the major world's problems right then was the big argument between the left and the right. You know, it was between the conservatives and the liberals, and everybody was kind of taking sides. It was between the legals and the illegals, and you had to have an opinion of one way or the other, and it was either the vaxxers or the no-vaxxers, or the salute or the stand or the kneel or whatever it might be. And those were like the major issues going on right then. And all of those thoughts or all of those opinions that you had right then, what they did was they placed you in this little divine or this little defined community, this group of people. And it was getting to be where it was so polarized. It was just like people really, you know, believed what they wanted to believe. I mean, it was you couldn't even go get a flu shot without somebody kind of giving you a look of, you know, oh, okay, you're one of those people, you're in that group, I see what's going on. And it felt like at work where I was at, it was just, I kind of felt bad, you know, because I was one of them that left my workstation and, you know, went down during work hours and got a flu shot and everything. And people were kind of, I felt like, you know, when I came back and everything, it was like, you know, when I was going to go to the cafeteria, I was going to have to sit in the table by myself, you know, with nobody else. And there I was, you know, sitting there with my little bologna sandwich and everything. And people were looking at me, and you could see I had my little Scooby-Doo Band-Aid on my shoulder. And they were kind of, they were judging me, you know, for what I was. But back then, way back in 2016, man, that was different back then. It was just like, if we had a different opinion, it was even okay then, you know, it didn't mean you were the enemy. It was just like you're in this camp or you're in this camp. But we still liked each other. At least on Facebook we did, you know, but we still liked each other a little bit. And it was like you could even at that time you could belong to different political parties and you could still be friends. And now today, I can't even imagine today, I mean, 4 short years later, or almost 4 years later, the types of community outrage that's going on in the world, I mean, even in our country, the things that are happening today. I mean, I couldn't even, back in 2016, if you had asked, you know, I wouldn't have been able to fathom the anger and the anxiety that would be normal that we see on the news, and it's like, oh, another riot, oh, another protest, oh, another, somebody got shot, oh, you know. And it was almost like, you know, it's almost like today, it's not so much acceptable, but it's just like, we're not really shocked about it, we're not really surprised about it. And this social upheaval that we're having of just disrespect for all of the authority and just destruction of our own little community. I can't even imagine back in 2006, I couldn't even imagine this, you know, being this way. So clearly I'm not very good at predicting the future and what it's going to be like. The outrage has grown from then, you know, we were mad because we were either, you know, one side, we were red or blue or stand or kneel or whatever, you know, but I couldn't, there just wasn't such a deep-rooted anger. And now it's even, there's even a greater division. It's more evident that, you know, you almost, it was felt like, you know, you need to pick a side. And so the good news this morning is there's hope. We have hope. We don't have to give up. There's these little pockets of hope all across the world. There's these little pockets of things that are just on fire and getting ready to happen. It's called the church. And it's the hope of the world. And when I say the church, it's not like the church, that building and this building. It's the church like it's you and I. And there's all these little things going on that we can really make a difference in the world. So today, as we look at Scripture today, what I want us to do is I want to discover that the power of a gospel-based community, a group of people, I want us to discover that the power in there, in the midst of this rage-filled world, because to be honest with you, we talked about this in the first teaching, this is nothing new. This has been going on for thousands of years of people picking sides and doing this and having all this stuff going on. But there's hope in this world today. And it's not just like, you know, it's kind of come home to base to us in the United States now, but it's not just a local issue. It's a global issue that's been going on. It's this division has been growing in our world. This anger and this violence is prevalent throughout the whole world today. Evil has taken up residence within this country, I believe, and is just wanting to tear it down. And as believers, we have to look at this, you know, and what is our response? What do we do? Just accept it, or let's ask it this way. What's our responsibilities as believers? To come in here and sing and praise the Lord and do, you know, and all of that, and have our little holy huddles that we hang out in, or to go out into the world. And I'm not talking about, you know, don't think that I'm talking about a solution. Oh, yeah, it's the church and we can fix everything because Christ has already taken care of everything. I'm not talking about we're going to, you know, all of a sudden feed the, you know, all the hungry and everybody's going to be okay and we're just going to be one big happy family and everything's going to be just fine. What I'm talking about really is in our life, as our Christian's life, a purpose and a process of taking this gospel into the world. And when I say that, we see that as the globe, the picture, this great big world. But what I'm talking about is taking it to the world for us specifically, and for you at home specifically in your area, is taking it into your grocery store. I mean, taking it out in the world, out of your church, taking it into to your workplace where you work at. Taking it into your schools where you go and you volunteer or you teach or whatever. That's what I'm talking about, taking the power of the gospel-based community into places like that. It's creating a gospel-based community within your circle of influence, within your circle of 7 or 10 friends to take it into there. So what I'm talking about is 5 biblical instructions, not something that we've kind of come up with, you know, or figured out on our own. It's 5 biblical instructions that are designed to bring a community together that's kind of at odds and have issues and kind of a new community and a bunch of, not sure what's going on. And it gives purpose and it gives pleasure in your life and it gives you peace in your life. This stuff that's happening has been happening and will continue to be happening. But that doesn't mean you can't have hope, joy, and peace in your life, because you can. And this is designed to strengthen it, to strengthen this base, to support this base, to encourage each other. So if you remember right, in week 1, we come together, we talked about this. We're on a mission. God has called us out on a mission. If you remember, Heavenly Father, he sent Jesus to earth, and Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He was speaking to everybody. That's why we have the Bible. He was speaking to us. He says, I'm sending you. And so what we're going to learn about today is we're going to see what happens when we have this power of this gospel-based community, this group of people. Understand when we talk about a community, when we talk about a church, when we talk about believers, we're not talking about them, we're talking about us and them. But we're going to learn about what happens when you use that power in there, when Christ is the center of that community, or of those people's lives, when he is the all and he is all and in all, and when your mission comes first, serving the Lord. So what we're going to learn in here is that God has used us as tools, loving tools, but he's used as tools, as vessels, to go out and engage the world. And John, he says, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. He says, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit here. And so we've got a purpose. And now our time is to go out. And he's going to use us to go out and engage the world. in this outrageous world that we live in and go out and engage them, not to be in our holy huddle here. So our main text today is going to be in the book of Colossians. So if you would, open up your Bibles, fire up your app, do whatever you need to do. If you're at home, go ahead and run off, get off the couch, run in there and get your Bible. Open it up to Colossians. We're in chapter 3. It's a small book, New Testament book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, keep going to your right, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, there it is, Colossians. It's a small book, but it's a powerful book, 4 chapters in there. And so this main text, and you know what, don't ever feel bad or embarrassed or anything when you have to find your place in the Bible. I mean, think about it. Everything that we have has instructions and it gives us directions. And so don't feel bad. It's good to find what you're looking for. If you were going to go on a road trip, you wouldn't, not take a map. If you go to New York, what do? You know, the first thing that you do is you go there and you want to go somewhere. The first thing you do is you open up a map. Okay, where are we going to go? The Bible's the same thing. Where am I going to go today? What's going on today? So our main text, it begins around verse 12. That's where we're going to be at, around verse 12. But I want to read some of the text that's going to be before that in a little bit, because what that's going to do, it's going to give you this vivid picture, this reoccurring theme that keeps happening in here. So we're going to be starting in chapter 3. I'm going to read a little bit of verse 8. And this is going to be great because it ties in. We could have used this at the baptism Saturday. We had a wonderful time at the baptism. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But now," and so let me give you a little pre-warning here, what was happening. These guys are new believers, and so Paul is writing to them, and he's saying, you know, your life is probably going to be a little bit different and everything. Lives are going to change. And so he says, "But now you must put them away," and he's talking about anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. So this is the way they did live. This is what was going on in their life. And he said, you know, you need to put that stuff away. You're believers now. You need to put it away. And, this is just a great place for us to start right here. You know, many of us were the same thing. Some of the stuff that comes out of our mouth probably shouldn't be coming out of our mouth. So he's saying, you know, that's a good place to start right there. And be sure and know this also in here. This isn't Paul's, like, list of rules that, oh, now you're a Christian, so now you got to know the rules of the do's and don'ts. Now you got to start doing the goods and bads. That's not what he's saying. You know, what Paul is doing, he's giving them biblical instructions. He's encouraging them. Now that you're believers and everything, he said, let me encourage you. Let me help you to move on forward with your purpose in your life. Let me help you to get pleasure and happiness in your life. And so he's giving them instructions. He's giving them directions. I mean, what would you do if you went to Joyland? If you went to Disneyland, what would you do? Yeah, you go through, you walk through the big gates, and I've never been there, but the first thing you do there, you open up the book and you look around. Okay, where are we going? It's the same thing. Paul's giving them direction. Let me help you out. These people are new believers. This is a new community of people. So he goes in and he tells them, and he says, verse 9, he said, "Do not lie to one another." He says, "Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So the key part, and this is the kind of the theme that I want to talk about, and this is an ongoing theme. You're going to see this, so highlight it when we come to these parts. But it says, you know, he says, we're going to be talking about, he said, taking off. I want you to remove this. I want you to get this out of your life and putting on. Like he's getting dressed. He said, now you need to take that stuff off and put this new stuff on your life. It's the same concept last week. We talked about 5 outfits that you could wear, and you'd clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what we should do in our life. And what that is, it's not like a list of rules or anything. This is intentional Christianity at its best. You know, you think when you become a Christian, it's like, now that I'm a Christian, I won't drink, I won't smoke, I won't cuss, I won't do, you know, all of these things, or sin, and then it's still all right there. We have to be intentional about our Christianity. And this right there, this is what this is, intentional Christianity. And as believers, what they're doing, Paul's setting them up to dress for success. So he says in verse 11, he said, here, so we got new believers and everything, they're in Colossae. And here, he's saying, you know, around us, he said, there is not a Greek or a Jew, a circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So what he's writing, he's saying to them, and he's saying under Christ, as believers, there's no division. We're all one group. There's no division. So the theme here is that we put things on, we add things, we do things in our life, and sometimes we do. We just have to do these because we know that's what Christ would do. But we add these Christ-like behaviors in our life. We clothe ourselves. We dress like that. And then we take things off. It's like worldly practices that we've been doing. We just remove them out of our life. We just shut them off. You know, we don't need those things anymore. So we remove them. We take them out of our life. So Paul, he's writing. It's a new community of believers there. It's a new community of group. It's a new culture for them and everything. So it's kind of hard for them to figure out. And he says, since he's been here, since he's been resurrected and everything, there's been this cultural change. And back then, you could say it was a cultural revolution. I mean, it was dangerous at that time to be a Christian. It was difficult at that time to be a Christian. But he's saying in there, he's saying, so, you know, now that you're a believer, now that you have Christ in your life, these distinctions have been broken down, not even broken down and separated. It means they've been broken down that they don't have these walls anymore. There's no Greeks, there's no Jews, there's no slave, there's no free. It's a new community. Now everybody's just believers. Now everybody's just brothers and sisters, and this new community has emerged there all of a sudden. So what Paul is doing, he's giving them biblical instructions in this new community how to start getting along. Because they would be doing some deals, maybe selling some cows or doing something like that. And this is my commentary, and that's why they were arguing and maybe lying to each other. Because it's like, yeah, it's a brand new cow. Nobody's ever, you know, milked it or anything. And come to find out, it wasn't a brand new cow. So that's what he's talking. He's giving biblical instructions for this community to live together. And so now it's not just a group of people. Now it's not just a section of town. Now it's just not where the rich people and the poor people or anything. It's not any of that same. Now it's a Jesus-based, gospel-centered community. It's a Jesus-based, gospel-centered community. And Christ is all and all. He's the anchor. He's everything that we measure everything by. Not our government, not our political people, not our teachers, not anything like that. It's Christ. He's the anchor. Everything that we do in our life is measured by Him. So now look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 12, probably go to about verse 17. And so I want to encourage you too in this, to take notes in this if you can, write down, highlight in your Bible, whatever you're going to do. Because it's not like we're going to solve the world's problems, like I said. It's not like we're going to deal with everybody that's anger or anything like that. It's not like there's not going to be rage in the world anymore. But it might solve the problems in some households today. That there's rage and anger and just anxiety in the household. It might solve some of the problems at the workplace when you don't get along with each other and we have issues with each other and we gossip with each other. It might solve some problems within the communities if we begin this in our homes and it starts right in there. It might not change the world, but I can guarantee that it'll change your world. So biblical instructions to create a gospel-based community. Doesn't matter whether it's the whole world, doesn't matter whether it's your home or your workplace or your neighborhood or your city or your gym or wherever it is that you go, is act like Jesus. And you're gonna, the simplicity of some of these is amazing, but it's just act like Jesus. Don't try to rationalize it, don't try to figure it out, just act like Jesus. And I'm not talking about being hypocritical or any of that kind of stuff right there. What I'm talking about is being intentional. that little bracelet. What would Jesus do? I don't feel like acting like one. I'm not sure I want to do this. I don't know if I should actually be doing this, but the Bible says act like Jesus. Colossians 3:12, and Paul tells them, this is a new community of believers, new people. They're kind of finding their place in the world and everything. And Paul says in verse 12, he says, put on then, there's that theme again, dress yourself, clothe yourself, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And the first time I read that, I thought, God, what a beautiful scripture in there. I mean, Paul's writing it, we understand. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit to write it. So it's infused with God the Father's words and everything. It's coming right to us. And he said, God's chosen ones. He said, you guys are God's chosen ones. You're the special ones. He said, clothe yourself with that. Wrap that up in your, grasp that. Get a hold of that. He's saying, understand, you're God's chosen ones. Compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. So he's writing to these new people. He's giving them biblical directions, I mean descriptions of these people. And he said, you're holy, you're beloved. God chose you. And it's so key that we understand this and know this, that he didn't choose us. I need all the humans to go out and spread the gospel. He chose you. By name, he chose you to go out and spread the gospel, to send you out. God's chosen one. Even the Bible says holy. And do you know what that word means? You know what holy word means? It's the same word. They get the root word, the same, holy and holiday. Those both come from the same word. And they both mean set apart. We've got a holiday this weekend. It's going to be a little different. Still Sunday, you know, but it's a little different than the other. It's the same word. It comes from the same place. It's something that's set apart, something for set apart for a special purpose. And that's what we are. We're God's chosen people, set apart. We've been picked up out of the world and we've been put in the church. We've been sent on a mission. We've been set apart by him. So in the reality of all of this, when Paul is writing there, what he's doing, he's sending them an encouraging letter. He's not saying, these are the rules now. Now that you're a Christian, you can't do anything bad, you have to do everything good. He's not saying that. This is an encouragement letter to new believers, to this new community of people. And his instructions are this, you know, he says, as new believers, just in case you don't know or you don't feel it or you don't understand it, he said it, there's like a new set of characteristics that you should have in your life. And a lot of our benefit, a lot of this is for our benefit, but a lot of benefit is for those others that are out in the world. Because we share the gospel. Sometimes you're the only Bible that people read. Sometimes you're the only religion that people see. And sometimes that's not so good. So he said there's these new characteristics or virtues. You can call them that if you want to. And this Paul's saying, you know, this is the way that you model your life. This is kind of how your life should look like. And he said the best and easy example and the one nobody can argue about, he just says, act like Jesus. Just act like Jesus. You know, if you think he would do that, do that. So these are the attributes. You and I need these. We need more of them. We need more of them all the time. But this is what we need to become a gospel-based community. You know, a gospel-based community, what happens is it displays more compassion on people. And our church does that. It shares more kindness. It has more humility. It creates more gentleness. We have more patience. That's what happens when you add that to your life. Act like Jesus. And number two, share the burden. Share some of the burdens. He tells us in verse 13, he says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Share the burdens. And it's not like, he's not saying, and just in case anybody, he's not saying share it on Facebook. That's not what we're saying. Okay, somebody's got an issue. You're not supposed to put it on Facebook and share that with everybody else. He's saying, share the burden, you know, and our church does a good job of that, like Kansas Food Bank. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything. We're just trying to support them because they're doing a wonderful job. And we're like, how can we help? Let us help you out. Share the burden. Single moms, we do that. We help that. Expecting moms, we do that. Missionary support, we do that. Let me help you carry some of that load. Be a part of the solution. That's what this is. It's then share the burdens. And it doesn't mean hanging out with the homeless people or anything like that. It just means that you're going to carry some of the load. What can I do to lighten that person's load? What can I do to relieve that burden? Maybe it's your neighbors. You know, maybe I can go over there and mow the lawn for the neighbors. You know, maybe it's somebody that's struggling and they're just a friend of yours and they tell you something and they're just saying, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to get this bill paid. It's just really hanging over my head. And so you just sneak in there and you pay the utility bill. Or maybe it's cooking meals. You know, when somebody's, you know, not able to cook for themselves or to care for themselves for a short period of time, that you're just going to step up. You're going to carry that burden. You're saying, I'm going to take that job. I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to be doing. Bear the burden and forgive one another. I mean, think about it. This is really powerful stuff. This is major stuff, and it's not that big a deal to us, but to the person carrying that load, it's really powerful. I mean, imagine that when the world is beating somebody down and everything, and everybody's pointing fault, and you shouldn't have done this, and you shouldn't have been that way, and you shouldn't have done these things, and you come in and you offer forgiveness. Imagine how that would be a burden off of them, how much that's going to lift off their shoulders. You got a grievance against somebody? Offer forgiveness. Doesn't mean it's okay that happened, but offer forgiveness. And you know, everybody wants forgiveness. But do these, think about the burden that's going to be lifted off their shoulders when you do that. And I know as we're sitting in this room and I think this and it comes into my mind all the time, you know, so well, I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to forgive that company. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Yeah. They didn't ask for it. You know, I'm not going to give it. Well, that takes us right back to the first instruction where act like Jesus. Because if we do everything on our own feelings and our own thought and our own process, we're never going to do it. But act like Jesus. Because he says, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. That's our motivation. Well, I don't feel like it and I'm not sure I can do it, but the Lord has forgiven me and so that's what I'm going to do. That's our motivation because Christ forgave you. Because the Bible, it doesn't say that this is going to be easy. In fact, it's burdensome. When you take on somebody else's burden, you may have to miss your TV show. You may have to mow two lawns in one day. It's hard. It's challenging. And people, and in today's world, I mean, people, they really get irritated. I mean, the anxiety level is so high right now. I mean, if you don't think, though, when you leave here today, go up to the stoplight on the corner there, and when the light turns green, wait about, maybe 1 or 2 seconds, and see if somebody doesn't like, give you the signal, you know, hey, you need to get moving a little bit closer. I mean, a little bit faster. Or that guy, you're driving down the road, and the guy in front of you, he's got his blinker on for the last 4 blocks. And you start getting irritated, and it's just like, God, I wish this guy would turn. I wish he'd go straight. I wish he would just do that. Or how about, and this is my pet peeve, you're on the elevator and everything, and those people, they're talking to somebody on speakerphone. Like, I'm interested in their grocery list. I don't need that information. But people get irritated. And don't even think about, you know, going into a convenience store without your mask or with your mask. Either way, somebody's going to be giving you the stink eye. So carry somebody's burden, you know, make their day a little bit lighter. And it doesn't have to be a heavy load, but just make their day a little bit lighter. Just say, hey, I'll give you a ride. I'll pick you up. I can do that. Creating a gospel-based community, which means that's group, this is us, is acting like Jesus, sharing other people's burden, and walking in love. In your mindset, in intentionality, walking in love. Verse 14, and it tells us, it says, above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So he says, above all these, I've been giving you some instructions. I've been giving you some encouragement. The first thing you need to understand, he says, above all these instructions, the most important thing is to put on love. To put on love. And we're still looking at this. We're still looking at the word picture in there. Clothe yourself. Dress up that way. Paul says, put it on. You wouldn't think that he'd have to say that. You'd think that we would just be naturally be loving people, but it's not the case. He says, put it on. If it falls off, put it on again. Put it on. I mean, let me explain this in Paul's perspective so you know why he's talking like this. In the culture that he's in the time period that he was going through right then, everybody wore a robe. Male, female, kids, well, everybody had a robe on. That's what was going on. And it kind of depended on the occasion because you had your robe that if you went out and worked in the field, that was the robe that you wore and everything. And then on special days or maybe your day off, you had another robe that you would wear. And maybe if you had to go visit friends, you'd have another robe that you would wear. And they were all set apart for a special purpose. You used the robe what it was for. But you might have had even a robe. Sometimes they had robes underneath their robes so that they could have, you know, stay warm or whatever it might be. But all the robes had one thing in common. All the robes had one thing in common that they liked. They all required a belt. Probably got one hanging on your bathroom door right now. A robe with a belt on it. And usually these robes, they were kind of a special belt. You know, maybe meant something or they were decorated a little bit. But the reason they were special, the reason they were different, because the belt, that's the one thing that went outside. Didn't matter which robe you had on, your belt always went on the outside. Everybody saw that. It's, you know, when you came up, you could recognize somebody by their belt. And the belt held everything together. Whatever it was, your outfit, you put on your outfit, and then you took this belt and you cinched it up and you pulled it together. Verse 14 says, and above all, these put on love, he says, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It holds everything together. Walking in love, it binds everything together. It's the thing people see first. It holds everything together. It brings everything into harmony. It's a sign of a mature believer is what it is. It's not church attendance. Well, I go to church every single Sunday. I never miss a Sunday. It's not giving. I give exactly 10% and that's it. You know, it's not scripture memory that I've remembered. You know, I can remember all of these scriptures and everything. That's not a sign of a mature believer. But love is. And his love, God's love. I mean, we can have compassion, we can be caring, we can be kind, we can be humility, and we can do all of these good deeds in our life. But it's the belt that takes those things and ties it all together, that cinches it together, that brings harmony. It's the belt that the rest of the world sees, that belt of love. So Paul says, above all else, put on love. Cinch it all together. Create harmony. Creating a gospel-based community, it requires that we do this. It requires that we give. It requires that we care. It requires that we share. And in that, we do that because of the love. That's why we do that. We bind it all together with love and we walk in love. The fourth instruction is this, live in peace. And he's not saying, but it does include fighting with each other. But he's saying, be at peace. Our lifestyle should be at peace. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so I kind of, going through this study, I've come to this conclusion. The reason that people are angry right now and full of anxiety and everything right now is because they're afraid. You know, I can say we're afraid, myself too. It's scary because I'm afraid that the culture is changing. I'm afraid that our country is changing. I'm afraid that our as normal is changing. And everybody, we're all afraid of losing our rights, whatever our rights are. We're all afraid of that. Our privileges, whatever it might be. And I think we're just afraid of that. But the Bible tells us, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let that be what makes our decision. Let that be our anchor. Let that be our stone. Because everybody wants peace in their life. No matter what, we all want peace in our life. But usually when we think about it, we want our peace. What I consider would be peace in my life. And we're afraid and we worry about it. And we're like, you know, well, if that election doesn't go my way, I don't know what's going to happen. If I don't get that promotion at work, I can't be responsible for any of that. If she doesn't say yes, my whole life will be ruined. And so it makes us afraid. It makes us angry. It makes us jittery. And so in our minds, we think, you know, okay, what can I do? How am I going to reroute my destiny? How can I be assured of my future? And doesn't that sound interesting? Doesn't that sound silly, really? I mean, the only way you can change the future of your life is trust to Him who holds the future of your life. We can try really hard, but He's the only one. And there's nothing wrong with planning and preparing and all of that. Nothing wrong, you know. But after it's all done, we need to be trusting in Him. Be at peace. I've done everything. I've done all that I can. And I prayed about it and everything. And so it's in your hands, Lord. I'm going to turn it over to you. Live in peace. Live in that peace. Trusting in Him means, you know, it means having confidence in Him. That He will do what He says He will do. That He's got this. That He's going to take care of things. Live as if He's in charge because He's in charge. Live that way. In fact, rest in that. I'm going to do the best I can, but I know God's in charge and He knows what's best and He's got a perfect plan. And lastly, instruction number 5, give thanks. Give thanks in all things. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. So this morning, we've been dwelling in the Word. We've been looking at it and seeing what's going on. There's been some teaching, possibly some Holy Spirit admonishing going on. We're singing and praising, we're raising our hands. And in just a moment, we're going to be giving thanks. But the last set of instructions that Paul writes about to them, he says, do everything in the name of Jesus. Do everything in the name of Jesus. So in this world that we're living in now, that we're struggling with now, that we're afraid of now, that we're not sure of now, this anger and rage and confusion, he says, Jesus offers peace, stability, acceptance, and it is only by Him. It is only by Him that we are saved. It's only through Him that we are saved. We can be good and we can follow all the rules and we can do all of the things, but it's only by Him that we can be saved. It's only through Him. I want to close. I want to give you another picture. I want to close with this story. Lynn and I, we have 3 grandchildren. One more in the oven. Coming our way. They're all perfect. I've met some of your grandchildren. They're all perfect too. So 3 weeks ago, my daughter got married down in Dallas. So we went, it was an outside venue, so we were safe and everything. We went down there. And before the ceremony, we're walking in the park, and my oldest granddaughter, she lives down south. And so we're out there, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and we're walking around in the park. And God, so wonderful. And she's such a perfect little thing. She's 3 years old. And so we're walking around, we're holding hands, you know, because we're in a strange place in a park and everything. And so we go over to the edge. We're kind of like at the edge of the road and everything, or across the parking lot there. And she points over across the parking lot, and she sees something shiny and pretty in the store window, and she points at it. That means I want that. So being grandpa, it's like, you know, hey, I'll see what we can do. But what I had to do before we could do anything like that, before we could offer all of that stuff to her, I had to instruct her on the safety of what was going on, you know, because it's like we can't just run right over there and do whatever you want. You can't do that. And so I knelt down, I looked at her, and I imparted my 66 years of wisdom, you know, why you had to look both ways, you know, you couldn't, you know, why you couldn't just run out there, how you couldn't and shouldn't cross the street. And so she looked at me, and we're holding hands and everything, and I'm imparting grandfatherly wisdom, and she looked at me, she let go of my hand, and she ran as fast as she could across the street over to that little store over there. And I'm telling you, you never seen a 66-year-old man jump up and move so quick. And you ever tried to grab a 3-year-old's hand when they don't want you to grab your hand? She's moving her hand around. I couldn't get it, but there was no way I was going to stop. I mean, I was going to get her. I was going to save her. I was going to run after her. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but some of you guys are still running today. And Jesus is reaching out. And you're running and you're in the street and you're playing. And you're having a great time and he's after you. But he's going to go. And he's going to follow you. And he'll go down them dark alleys. And he's going to go out into the street. And he'll go wherever he has to go to get you, because he's going to chase you down and he's not going to give up. So stop running. Quit running. Just go ahead and let him reach out. Let him grab your hand. Turn your life over to him and ask him for forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody in this room that would need or ask or want forgiveness, Lord, that you would see into their heart, Lord, that they would ask for forgiveness, that you would accept their hearts, Lord, that you would accept their pleas. We pray, Lord, for anybody at home, if they don't know you, Lord, that they would step up this day and they would ask you for forgiveness. Lord, we know that just like your word says, and we just found out today, that in all things we want to give thanks for our lives, for our families, for your protection. But Lord, so much we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, who went to the cross for us and saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.